But for one last time, I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, next week, we're going to begin looking at more Christmas-oriented sermons, and I really hope you'll come back and join us next week and the following weeks, because we're actually going to be looking at Christmas before Christ. We're going to look at the Christmas story as I believe it's prophesied and taught in the book of Genesis. And so that's what we're going to be actually looking at throughout the month of December. But today, we're going to finish up our study of 1 Corinthians that we started way back in February, titled Living for Christ in Corinth. And throughout this study, throughout looking at 1 Corinthians, we've been trying to answer this one question. How do we live out the unchanging truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a culture and in a world that is constantly changing? We know that our lives go through ups and downs and ins and outs. We have good times, we have bad times, we have times of victory, we have times of struggle, and yet the gospel remains truth. The message of Jesus Christ is the foundation that we base our lives on. So what does it mean for us to live out the truth of the gospel in the ins and out, the days in, the days out of the life that we have currently that we are living? And so I really think as we look throughout 1 Corinthians, it's really the story of us all. The Corinthians church struggled with a variety of different things. As we've looked throughout this letter, we've seen that they struggled with church unity. They struggled with proper doctrine, what to believe about Jesus Christ. They struggled with what it meant to exercise various spiritual gifts when the church body came together. They had questions about worship. They had questions about marriage. They had questions about how men and women should relate in worship. They had bad beliefs when it came to our future hope of resurrection that Paul had to correct. They had a variety of different good and bad things that Paul needed to discuss and correct. And isn't that really true about all of us? Man, there are some days where I get through the end of the day and go, man, I am a really good Christian. You ever do that? You get to the end of the day and go, man, I am so humble and I am so wise and I am so smart and I am just an absolute, yeah, that's when you know it's about to go bad, when you start acting like that. But some days I feel on top of the world and feel like everything's going good, and then it might be the very next day I feel like the world's on top of me, and things don't look so bright, and things don't look so hunky-dory and cheery, and it can be quite difficult. And I think 1 Corinthians shows us that no matter what we're going through, whatever the struggle, whether it's a doctrinal belief or an ethical behavior or whether it's a good day or a bad day, the gospel remains true, and we need to live out that truth every day of our lives regardless of those feelings. And you know what? On those days when we don't live out that truth the way we should and when we mess up, there is amazing grace. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's another one of the messages that we find here in 1 Corinthians. No matter how imperfect we are, we serve a perfect Savior. And His grace is sufficient. And His grace can make us new. And so for one last time, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. And we actually have an entire chapter to cover. But what I'm going to do today is just kind of overview most of that chapter. And then I want to focus us in on two verses in particular that I think summarize just the theme and the purpose of this book. So let's go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to summarize chapter 16, and then we'll focus on the scriptures we're really going to pay attention to this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the grace that you give us every day. We thank you that you have created your church. And Father, as we've looked at 1 Corinthians, we are reminded that we as your people are imperfect, and we need your grace to make us new. And so, Father, today I pray that as we come together here at Hagerman Baptist Church, that we would celebrate the victory that you have given our lives, that we would recognize areas in our lives that need the continuing work of your grace. And, Father, I just ask that you would work in us today, draw us together, unite us, teach us what you want us to hear from the book of 1 Corinthians. Father, thank you for the love that you give. Guide us into your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Work in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, there are really a whole lot of lessons that we could learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But as I mentioned, I'm trying to get to my Christmas sermon, so I don't really have time to go into every single detail of this passage. But let me just kind of summarize some of what Paul has talked about in this last passage. Now, 1 Corinthians was an ancient letter, and ancient letters ended in a particular way, just like we would end a letter by possibly saying sincerely from so-and-so and having that standard ending. That's how ancient letters ended as well. And at the end of a letter, Paul would generally just kind of throw out a lot of different topics and themes and things for people to think about. He might talk about his traveling companions. He might talk about where he's going next. He might give just a little bit of kind of basic teaching on the Christian faith at the end. And then he would generally close it out by saying, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And that's kind of how he would end this letter. And that's what we find happening here in 1 Corinthians 16. In chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, Paul kind of talks about his traveling plans. And he talks about, hey, I'm headed to Jerusalem, and as I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to take up this offering, and I want you to give an offering because there's a lot of poor people in Jerusalem, and so I want us all to take that money and bring it to them and help our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that's a great lesson that we could talk about, and something that I'm so proud that our church here at Hagerman does. We could talk about church participation and churches working together and giving to further the ministry that God has given us. That's a biblical thing that Paul lays down here in this passage. That's why we as Hagerman cooperate with the other churches of Pottsboro. That's why we send our money to the Southern Baptist Convention so it can be dispersed to support missionaries. It's a biblical precedent that we find being taught here in Paul. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. Another lesson we could look at, chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. Paul talks about certain leaders that came from the church at Corinth, and they were leaders that risked their life to help Paul, and they were really leaders that risked their lives to further the ministry of the church at Corinth. And Paul says to honor such people, and so we could talk about honoring leaders and respecting those who have sacrificed so much for the cause of Christ, but that's not really what we're going to talk about this morning. In chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, we could talk about honoring servants, people that work for the good of the gospel and work together. And we could talk about how we all need to be that. We all need to be servants of Christ. We all need to be working side by side, recognizing that we are servants of Christ, servants of one another. And we could talk about honoring servants, but we're not going to do that this morning. Chapter 16, verses 19 through 24, Paul talks about the importance of Christian fellowship and Christians spending time together and living together and working together. Then he has this really interesting phrase where he says to give everybody a holy kiss. We don't practice that in the Baptist church, by the way. That's not something we do. We handshake. That's what we do in the Baptist church. But that holy kiss was a symbol of Christian unity. And so we could talk about Christian unity and working together and having that fellowship, but we're not going to do that. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on two verses that I think summarize really the entire book of 1 Corinthians, the purpose, the theme, and the focus of this book. And they are just very short commands that Paul wants to leave with the church at Corinth. I'm talking about chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Let's go ahead and read chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 and talk about that passage for just a moment. Paul says, I'm reading out of the 2011 NIV, by the way, if my Bible's different from yours. Paul says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love." I think that's just a perfect summary of the book of 1 Corinthians. In fact, this is something that Paul does regularly when he comes to the end of his letters. You can look at the end of Romans, you can look at the end of Ephesians, and you can see Paul doing this. He gives these short staccato command statements that kind of sum up the book and sum up the Christian faith. In fact, this is oftentimes called a catechism. A catechism is a summary of Christian teaching, and Paul will often end his letters with a catechism, a summary of these different Christian teachings. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. And if you look at it, it's pretty simple from the outset. I mean, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. It's pretty simple to read, and most of us can really understand what all of that means. But if we dig a little bit deeper, this is oftentimes very difficult to put into practice. And so that's why Paul chose to end with this teaching, to remind us of the need to put these things into practice. Now, before we look at each one of these commands, I just want to give you a little bit of a summary of kind of the structure of this passage and some of the implications of that. First of all, you'll notice they are five commands. Five commands. Now, they're called present imperatives, if you want an English lesson this morning. They're called present imperatives. And what that means is they are commands that call for continuing action. This is not a one-time choice. This is not something we do one day and then don't do the next. Paul is saying, continually do these things. Always do these things. This is what it looks like to live out the faith. This is what it looks like to apply the gospel. If you want to live for Jesus, if you want to make a difference in this world, if you want to come together as a church and make a difference, do these five things continually. So these are present imperatives. They are commands. They are habitual actions, things that we need to make a habit in our lives. We need to do these things not as second nature, but they need to become our nature. This is just the way we respond and the way we act. And so that reminds me that this is a choice we must make. These are five commands that mean we have choices that we must make. We must choose to be on guard. We must choose to stand in the faith. We must choose to be strong. And what that means is that the Christian life is not primarily about feelings or reacting to those feelings. It's about a choice to remain committed to Jesus Christ day in and day out. Now, sometimes that choice is very easy. When I'm feeling good, when things are going my way, when I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes I don't see the light or the tunnel. Sometimes the glass is not half empty or half full. Sometimes there is no glass, all right? Sometimes it's hard to make that choice. But Paul tells us that this is a choice we must make day in or day out because this is truth. And truth does not rely on feelings. Now, another thing that we don't really notice in English, but we can see it in Greek when we look at it, is all of these commands are in plural. What that means is Paul is telling all of us as a church to do these things together. This is something that we can't do individually. You know what? I really can't stand firm in my faith on my own. I need you. I need you. You need me. We need one another. I can't really be strong on my own. I need the church's support. And so Paul is not primarily saying this is something we need to do as individuals. He is saying, church, come together and live out the gospel. Church, be the community that God has created you to be. So we've got present commands that are habitual actions, choices we must make, and this is something that we as a church need to be doing together. So let's look at each one of these commands individually and kind of draw out some of their implications. First and foremost, Paul says, be on your guard. What does that mean? Be on your guard. Some of your Bibles might have this translated, be watchful, stay awake, be alert. Those are all very good translations. The idea is that I need to be doing something to make sure I'm paying attention to my surroundings. I need to be kept awake. I need to stay awake. Now, what are some things we do when we're trying to stay awake? Any of you guys ever been driving along and your eyes start to get a little heavy? What do you do to stay awake? You might slap yourself a little bit. Or if you're like me, you stop and you get about 14 cups of coffee. All right, and you drink that coffee. We do something to keep us awake because we realize that if we don't stay awake, there will be consequences. Something devastating is going to happen. Well, this phrase, be on your guard or stay awake, it was oftentimes used in the New Testament to encourage Christians to stay awake and look for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if we've looked throughout 1 Corinthians, we can see that this is something Paul has taught over and over again. In chapter 1, Paul talked about how we as Christians are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 7, Paul said that we need to have certain relationships in light of the fact that this world is temporary and Jesus Christ is coming. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talked about the future hope that we have from Christ coming again and bringing the resurrection body. And so Paul is summing this up and he's saying all of Christian life, everything we do here in the present is meant to be lived in light of eternity. We know Jesus is coming again. We know he is king of this world. We know he's going to fix what is broken. We know he's going to right what is wrong. So stay awake. Keep looking. Keep making decisions in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. So how do we do that as a church? How do we do that in our Christian faith? How do we stay awake? What are some things we can do? First and foremost, I think we need to come together as a church and encourage one another. We need to spend time with other Christians. We need to encourage each other. We need to challenge each other. We need to call each other out at times. We need to be the body of Christ and spur one another on to that final second coming. We need to be reading our scriptures. We need to know the Bible. We need to pay attention to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We need to serve. We need to look for opportunities to make a difference in our community, in our families, in our world. We need to be active participants in the Christian faith. When we are doing these things, we're giving ourselves that spiritual slap in the face. We're getting that spiritual espresso. We're staying awake. We are focusing on eternity that is coming to earth. So Paul says, continually be on your guard. Continually make this choice day in and day out to stay awake and look for Jesus. Next command. Paul says to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. I think it's actually very significant that Paul doesn't say stand firm in your faith or stand firm in a faith. He uses a definite article, stand firm in the faith. What Paul means is this: know what you believe. Know the faith that you are a part of. Understand the good news of Jesus Christ. Understand the gospel message. Understand what Scripture teaches. Understand what the apostles have taught. Stand firm in the faith. And this is something, again, that Paul has taught throughout 1 Corinthians. He has shown how the Corinthians sometimes followed their culture, sometimes followed their passions, sometimes followed their own traditions, sometimes followed their own opinions. And Paul says, none of that works. None of that is lasting. The only true foundation is this: the faith that we find in Jesus Christ. The good news, the message of Jesus Christ. And you know what, guys? We really aren't that much different than the Corinthians, are we? Sometimes we float around and we kind of follow the latest fads, or we follow our emotions, or we make choices based on how we feel at that moment. But Paul says everything is secondary. The faith that we find in Jesus Christ, it trumps all of that. And so we are to stand firm in the faith. Know what we believe. Remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross according to the Scriptures, that He was buried according to the Scriptures, that He raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Know what we believe. Stand firm in the faith. So we are to be on our guard. We are to stand firm in the faith. And the next command is this. Paul says, my Bible says, be courageous. Be courageous. You know, it takes a lot of courage to have faith in God when you don't know when your next paycheck's coming from. It takes a lot of courage to share the gospel when you know you're going to face opposition. It takes a lot of courage to stand firm in the face of illness. There are things that we have to be courageous about. We have to make that choice to be courageous. But I actually think this is probably a wrong translation. Literally, this verse should be translated, act like a man. Act like a man. Now, what does that mean? Now, a lot of times we would think, well, isn't that courage? Isn't that courageous? I actually think Paul is saying here, act like an adult. Grow up in the way you think. And this would make perfect sense in light of 1 Corinthians. If we look throughout 1 Corinthians, we can see that sometimes they were a little childlike in their faith. They argued about things that didn't matter. Some people thought they were more spiritual than other people. Some people thought that just because one person had prophecy and another had tongues, they were more important. And so they were childlike, and they bickered, and they fought, and they did things that weren't exactly mature. And so Paul says here in this passage, act like a grown-up. Grow up. Make the choice when you come together as a church to act responsibly, to support one another, to compromise when you need to compromise, to stand firm when you need to stand firm, to be adult-like in our thinking and be able to sit down and talk with people that disagree with you. Paul says to do this continually. Make that choice daily to act like an adult. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at all this and I'm reading this and I'm going, I'm not good at this most days. I'm really not. Be on your guard, man. There's sometimes I'm so focused on what's right here in front of me, I forget that Jesus is coming. Be on my guard. How do I do that? Stand firm in the faith. Sometimes I don't know what I believe. I'm so stressed out or this or that. Maybe you feel the same way at times. Okay, act like an adult. You know what? It's more fun to act like a dang kid. It's more fun to stand in my opinion. It's more fun to kind of do what I want to do. Act like a kid. How in the world am I supposed to accomplish all this? You know what the truth is? I can't do it on my own. This is not something I can do on my own. This is not something any of us can do on our own. And so Paul gives us this next phrase where he says to be strong. And literally, this is more, it's more literally translated, be made strong. Let God make you strong. Rely on His strength. Rely on the Holy Spirit's strength. Rely on the fact that we can't really strengthen ourselves, that that's something that only God can do in us as we submit to His leadership and we submit to His leading and we listen to His scriptures and we listen to the Holy Spirit. We are to be made strong, recognizing that we can accomplish none of this on our own without the help of Christ, without the transformation of Christ. And so, church, we cannot effectively be the church unless we let God make us strong. And then I love verse 14. To me, verse 14 really is the summary of this entire book. Do everything in love. Do everything in love. And this reminds me of that wonderful passage that we find in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Paul spent an entire chapter just talking about the sacrificial love of Christ and how when we are focused on the love of Christ, when we are loving others in that way, we are accomplishing the goals that Christ put forth to us. There are times in church life, there are times in my own life where I don't know the right choice to make. You ever been there? You don't know what to do? You can't go wrong by trying to be loving. You can't go wrong by saying, what is the most loving thing to do in this particular instance? How do I show the love of Christ in this particular instance? And so Paul says, church, at the end of all things, at the end of this 16-chapter letter where I've addressed a variety of different subjects, Paul says it all comes down to this, do everything in love. So 1 Corinthians has taught us throughout. Somebody clapped for me. What was that about? You're glad because the sermon's done. Yeah, all right, that's exactly right. My sons think I'm the worst preacher in the world because they've never heard another preacher. They went to my mom's church and heard that preacher and said, oh, Daddy, you're not that bad. And I told them, hey, I may not be great, but I'm done in 20 minutes, so that's a good thing. So, all right. 1 Corinthians teaches us that the unchanging gospel changes everything. It makes us who we are meant to be. It empowers us to live a life beyond ourselves. It makes us more Christ-like. Let's do all things in love. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Let's first and foremost, right now, as a church, with every head bowed, every eye closed, let's just spend some time thanking God for the gospel that He gives us, the good news of Jesus Christ, the truth that He loves us no matter what. Let's just spend some time silently praying, praising God for the fact that we are loved by Him. Let's also spend some time praying right now for our church that we would continue to grow in love and unity and service, that God would direct our every path, that He would show us how to live out the truth of the gospel, that He would help us love each other on good days and bad days and everything in between. So pray for our church right now. Let's also just spend some time praying that God would use our church for His glory, for His kingdom, for His honor. That He would lead us to new ministry growth. That He would lead us to new acts of service. That He would help us to minister to those within the church and those without, outside the church. I just say that I'm just so, I'm thankful for everyone in this church. I'm thankful for the body of Christ we have here. I'm thankful for your unconditional love. I'm thankful for the history that we have here. I'm thankful for the friendships. I'm thankful that when times are good, we rejoice together. When times are difficult, we work things out. And I just pray, I ask you to pray that we would always have that desire to just live out the gospel. We've got a good thing. Everybody here loves this church. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard me talk about gospel and good news and God loving you, and you're thinking, what does all that mean? I don't even know what all that is. You know, if you have questions about what it means to be a Christian, if you have questions about what it means to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, ask those questions. You can catch me after the service if you have questions about what it means to be a Christian. I'd love to talk with you about that. I'm going to be down here at the front with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to come forward and pray with me, if you want to commit your life to following Jesus right now, that's something you want to choose to do right now, I'm going to be here at the front for that. But if you've not made that decision to follow Jesus, keep asking questions. Seek out Christians to talk to. Read the scriptures. And I invite you to make that decision to follow Jesus. So right now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you need to pray with me, you can do that. If you just want to sit where you are and continue to pray about something God has laid on your heart, do that. If you need to make a decision to be baptized or to join our church, I'll be here at the front if you'd like to come pray with me about those things. Father, we just thank you for the great love that you give us. I thank you that down through the centuries you have preserved this letter of 1 Corinthians for us, that you inspired the Apostle Paul to write it so many years ago, and that it has instructed your church for centuries now. We thank you for that. Father, I just ask that you would continue to help us to live out that message, to struggle with its message at times, to know what it means to live out the gospel. Thank you for the church we have here at Hagerman. Help us to be a gospel-centered church, a church that just promotes your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, at this time, we'll have our gentlemen come forward for the offering. I did want to mention as well, I forgot to do this earlier. Many of you know Linda Franco. She passed away yesterday, I believe it was. And so Doug Lacey had called and let me know about her passing. And a lot of you guys are connected to the Franzio family in this church. So I just wanted to ask you to pray for that family and support them during this difficult time. But I wanted to let you know. Marion wanted to say something. We're going to let Marion... Thank you, Marion. All right. Yeah. All right. I want to ask, Les, would you pray for us before the offering?